understand even what they're talking about, because, you know, in federal language lingo, they have everything in acronyms. But there is a, like, some cheat sheets, some like single and two page cheat sheets that talks about how you can score and if you're eligible and what that means. And so you can kind of get a gist if it's something that is worth pursuing and if you even have a shot to be able to be successful. Are there any questions?
I have a question. When you listed the engineering cost estimating, design costs, we already have those numbers. Our consultant, Cascade Waterworks, provided them for us. My understanding was, or I guess I'm getting that you're saying the costly part of doing the application is gathering the numbers. So if Cascade can provide you guys with the numbers and you can just stick them in, it seems like that $65 number would be greatly reduced.
It's not quite like that. And what I mean by that is I started out with the numbers for the project that Newport is proposing to do as well. Construction estimates on what the costs would be. I got the estimates on what the engineering to finish the design and do the specifications and construction, that whole thing. And then you take that and you actually put detail to that for the application. So for example, there's an introductory statement and it's something that you have to do for FEMA that talks about what the scope of work is. It talks about what you're proposing to do, how that provides mitigation value. There's the activities and the tasks that you're going to do. So you take those estimates they give you, and, you know, the engineer might say you have 10 6-inch valves and you have 150 feet of pipe. And then you have to sort of translate that into tasks. And then what that task is accomplishing, how you're providing oversight on that task, what percentage is that task of the overall project value? What quarter are you proposing to withdraw those funds from the state in that, where did that task fall in that? Who's responsible for that task? That's what I'm talking about, is you take those numbers, you translate those into what FEMA is looking for and being able to do an analysis on, is it an eligible project? Is it going to provide value? Those costs that you're proposing, you know, when are you going to be delivering them, so that they can align that with their budgets and the dollars that they have available, so they know what their outlay is going to be 3 years down the road.
In fact, Buzz, to tell you that's exactly what we're doing for Newport. There's a project that an engineer's responsible for that the city has asked us to go get funding for. So we're actually working with that engineer to get their numbers. But as Tim said, it's getting the numbers. But then there's just a whole bunch of work beyond just getting the numbers. But even with that said, you know, through with the study that we did, we've got the numbers ourselves with what the district needs. And so yeah, we're already working with another engineer that's working on a project in Newport that Newport's asked us to help us get funding for that particular project.
You guys are talking about a big project in Newport. What we're talking about is maybe 1,800 feet of 8-inch line. We're talking about a 30 by 30 water storage tank, a bolted steel tank, maybe some fire hydrants. Man, that's not rocket science, coming up with those numbers and identifying those tasks. You guys are making it sound like it's super complicated and difficult. And for us on the FEMA, as I understand it, those are the fire things that will improve fire flow. And we've pretty well worked out all the details on the distribution system too. We know what size line, where, how we're gonna do it. It's all been done.
So the level of effort to fill out the application is almost irrelevant to the size of the project. because the information that you have to provide for FEMA doesn't change. You still have to do the cost-benefit analysis. You still have to do the environmental assessment. You still have to provide the narrative that they're looking for and fill out the online application. And so
that sounds like paperwork.
It is paperwork.
Buzz, I have to agree with Tim. It is a lot more complicated than you ever thought possible. I look at these documents all the time. I look at them day in and day out, and they are basically a nightmare. And if you don't dot your T's and cross your I's and say A when they mean A and B when they say B, there's no chance in heck we ever have an iota. They will kick you out.
I'm not talking about us doing that. I'm saying, I'll say it again. We can give you the engineering numbers, and they're pretty well-defined tasks.
And but that's just a tiny, tiny piece. That's a tiny piece of what the grant is.
I think that's something that we can discuss.
Yes.
Later. My understanding was that tonight we were getting information, and I think we're getting a description of the massive pile of paperwork that any project sounds like takes. And that's through the materials that you guys sent to us earlier. I spent at least half an hour just looking up the acronyms. As far as us making a decision, I didn't think that was going to be happening tonight.
I guess as a starting point, I would suggest setting that conference call with Amy, because she can provide some really specific guidance on what to expect. And, to your point, it's not something that you would really want to enter unless you're going to get your bang for your buck. And so, I would pursue as much as you can in the grant application. Don't ask for small dollars, ask for big dollars, because the level of effort to do the application doesn't really change a whole lot based on the size of the project, unless it becomes very environmentally complex. That's a whole different animal. But if you have something that is not environmentally complex, like building a tank or putting in a water line in a road that's already there, it doesn't have a lot of environmental impact. There's not a lot of questions associated with that. And so it makes it a little bit more straightforward. But then, whether you're asking for $1 million for a mile of water line, or if you're asking for $100,000 for two blocks of water line, the application process is almost identical.
Tim, can you give us an idea of how many projects in Oregon your company has done this for?
Got some history on grant applications?
Well, I guess maybe just as maybe to answer your question in a roundabout way, then come back and specifically answer. But we're a company of about 28, 30 people. We've got four offices throughout Oregon, Coos Bay, Albany, Medford, and of course here in Newport. In Oregon, as a company, grant applications through USDA, Rural Development, USDA, through Business Oregon, block grants, we've done a bunch of them. I don't even know what a number would be. FEMA, unique. So we've done lesser FEMA grants, but we've done FEMA grants. It's just a process of taking advantage when there's a disaster like there has been declared. That's when you jump on it. And those don't happen every day, everywhere you are. So you just jump on it when the opportunity presents itself, like it is now. But specifically to Newport, we've worked with Seal Rock Water District, Adam Denlinger. We've worked with, then a lot of the cities, City of Toledo, of course, Seal Rock. I believe long ago we helped with some funding initially, a long time ago, with the planning document anyway. But Seal Rock, Southwest, Lincoln County, PUD, we've helped with a lot of funding grant applications. Again, FEMA, those come along when they come along. and you respond. But I know Civil West helped with Newport with some FEMA grants with.
Yeah, you did Safe Haven Hill.
Safe Haven Hill and.
Yeah, we did Big Creek Road. We did Northeast 7th Street. We did. Those are just the ones we did with Civil West. Then I did at least two of them with Big Creek in addition to that. And then, then we did all the procurement up on Northeast 70th. That's another. I mean, I've done myself probably walk through 10 FEMA either emergency declaration and PA responses, and probably 5 mitigation or advanced assistance applications successfully. And once you're approved, going through the process itself is pretty straightforward. It's just going through the application process is like any other grant. There's some time involved in it. And, you know, Alisa can speak to that as you're not always going to be successful, but there's due diligence necessary to be competitive.
But you know, it's you know, and again, Lisa can speak to this, but preparing a grant application, you've got the technical component. You know, you got the engineering, you got the technical, you got this, but you also have, you know, of course, just the ability to write it, to organize it, to put it together, to know what needs to be said, how it needs to be said. And sometimes it's a technical audience and sometimes it's not a technical audience. And you've got to know what audience you're speaking to. And the relationships with the representatives of these funding people, you know, Tim speaks to this gal with FEMA, that helps to know that you know people, because they will help give you guidance on how to write the grant. You know, you certainly don't do it in a box. And because we've been around as Civil West, Tim certainly has been around on his own accord. We know people, we know who to talk to. You know, Melissa Murphy with Business Oregon. You know, we don't do things in a box. We want to bend people's ears. We want to put the best foot forward, because that's what we do. And that's what needs to be done. And so it's not just throwing a random application. It's networking and it's building those relationships of trust with people and leveraging those as best you can. That still doesn't guarantee a grant, an award, but it sure increases your chances.
I have another question. Kevin, you said you had the numbers already. Who did the takeoffs for you on our design?
Well, what I've got is the study report that we did for you a few years ago. We've got just the cost estimates based on that.
That's so, what you base your grant on or your application on?
No, we have some cost estimates for building a tank, sending some water lines, some unit pricing associated with that. So depending on, you know, the scope and scale that the district wants to pursue for a project, either upsizing a water line or expanding a tank, those are pretty straightforward. And then they allow some contingency costs in there for change in scope as well. So, you know, those things aren't super rocket science, because what you're proposing to do is pretty straightforward.
Well, they're not rocket science. I agree with you, but that's not... That design and the master plan has changed.
And that may be. I don't know. All I know is when we did the report, we felt like it was a good report. It was a good recommendation. The costs were relevant at that point in time. And if it's changed, then
we'll use revised numbers.
Yeah, we'll use the revised numbers. No problem.
So you need to talk to our engineer to get the revised numbers, correct?
Yeah, if you have some, yeah. Or you can provide them to us as a district if you choose. Do you want to pursue the grant? Yeah. I'm assuming you have them in a paper copy or an electronic copy already.
Well, I think you should get them directly from the engineer.
Because if he's written an addendum to the report or written some kind of a memo, you know, documenting his costs or something, that'd be the kind of information that would be great to have if he's done something like that.
He's done a revised design.
Okay. A design or just a preliminary study, evaluation?
A revised preliminary plan.
Okay.
Different size pipe, different size tank. That's about it.
Sure.
It's different.
You know, but if, and, and that's, yes, just if he's provided to the district, you know, whatever format it might have been, a memorandum or whatever it is, yeah, if he's prepared a supplement or a change of plans and with some costs on it, that's what we would need to provide. But I think, like Tim said, I think, you know, we know.
Contact him and get that, right?
Yeah, well, we know you're going to need to replace your tanks. We know you're going to replace your water lines. And whether a water line is a 6-inch or an 8-inch, you know, back to the fire protection, it needs to be, and the plan may still yet change once you start putting in the application. You know, if we need to put something in there and design it to where it's a fire protection, it can compete, the plan may still yet change as we go through this
process. You're telling me the design really doesn't matter. It's whether you dot all the I's and cross the T's and how you say it. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, because the design is not necessarily complete when the application is done. You don't have to have a complete design to do an application. What you need to have is enough information to be able to provide some guidance in terms of costs. And then there are some opportunities as you move forward to be able to revise those costs if things change.
And so, well, I'm telling you, that information already exists, and the cost, it's all been laid out, number of valves, number of hydrants, detailed cost, the whole enchilada. And that's what you need to get from our engineer.
Okay. Yep. If you choose to go forward, give us his information so we can get that from him.
Yeah, with a meeting with Amy, she'll be able to provide some good guidance where I feel like the district would be able to make a decision if you want to pursue a grant application with FEMA. And then you can, you know, decide at a board meeting to do that, and we could prepare a scope of work for preparing that based on what you want to see in that. And Amy could probably steer you to what is competitive or what you can reasonably expect to be successful with. And I think move forward with some confidence at that point. You can certainly sit in on a phone call with her if you'd like. That would be fine. We do that all the time. You can set up a phone call meeting with her if you'd like. Kind of, it's at your direction and discretion at this point.
So what you're saying, Tim, is just kind of help moderate.
She may have questions that you might not be able to answer. Some guidance there could be any variety of reasons why you'd want to have us sit with you, but it's not necessary either, because really it's more for the sake of you having a level of comfort to pursue the grant program. And you're familiar enough with the planning documents that Southwest put together, with the documents that your engineers put together, where you'll be able to speak about what you need to do and how that program might be advantageous to you.
Tim, I have a question. Could you review again some of these timelines and specifically what, like, when the funds would be available? I know you mentioned it before, but I don't think I caught it all. So when could we expect to be actually knowing that we would have any funds and that we could then proceed to start with the project?
So it doesn't have the proposed award dates on here on this.
Which could you or would you?
But from other information I have, their proposed award date is December 28th, 2022. So it's a long ways away.
To even know if they got
money. Yeah, a full 12 months to know if you were successful or not. They will usually tell you if you're going to be on the recommended award, probably 3 to 4 months ahead of when they actually do an official award. So as I recall, 9 months after the application, you'll get a gist if you're going to be one of the recommended projects.
So 9 months after we would apply?
Yeah, so
9 months after a letter of intent, we could be eliminated at that point?
Well, I have a feeling that as we go through this process and you're getting review by FEMA, you're going to know early on if there's some major modifications that you need to do. Because, you know, the initial application is due, you know, in April or May. And then they're going to have to look at that and they'll get back to you. But as I recall, and this is just based on what I remember from previous projects, about 9 months down the road or possibly a year down the road, you'll know whether you're going to be successful by December 28th of 2022. Now that's the latest deadline. You know, they could potentially award it sooner than that, but these things take forever. Once we actually had an award from FEMA on our last one, it took them 9 months to actually execute the contract. So, you know, this could be a very long process. These mitigation projects are not emergency projects. They're to prevent future emergencies. And so they're slow. They're very long. That's why there might be other opportunities to do some design through an AA grant, advanced assistance grant from a previous mitigation program that they still have funds left because somebody didn't keep timelines or something along those lines. Amy would be able to talk about some of those things.
So Tim, would an entity our size likely wait till we would see a possibility, a real possibility of a grant being awarded? And at that point, if we were going to have to borrow money to help support that particular project, that's when we would try to borrow the money for that?
It's hard to say. You know, what we're talking about now is strategic grant planning. I mentioned in your last meeting that it may be helpful to sort of script out all the opportunities that you might be able to participate in over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. You know, I could see pursuing a FEMA grant and then you feel like you're locked into not doing anything until you actually get an award on that, which could be 2 or 3 years down the road. And that would be unfortunate considering there's a lot of opportunities out there that may present themselves during that time frame. And it's hard to even speculate on that until we have a conversation with Amy to talk about, you know, what funds they have available for mitigation that might be just eligible for just design process that would then set you up to be prepared for other grant programs that become available because you have a very defined construction set of construction documents that are ready to go. And maybe you design various parts of your project that you can add together in a larger project, or you actually bid independently based on what grant funds might be available and what is sexy to them at the time, whatever they're actually looking for, be it seismic or fire or flood or whatever the latest disaster or issue might be.
So for us, our recommended next step would be definitely get together with Amy, perhaps include your company in the process at the same time. And at that point, we would develop a list of the types of things we want to try to fund from known grants. Am I getting that?
Yeah, and so Amy is specifically the State Hazard Mitigation Officer.
Right.
So, you know, she would be talking specifically about mitigation projects and how you might be able to fit what you need to do into, say, a mitigation strategy. So that's one bucket of, you know, funding that you might be able to participate in. Then there might be water conservation. You know, we could talk to OWRD or the Bureau of Reclamation, and they have water resiliency and conservation programs that might be available to you to do meters or something to stop water loss. Completely different bucket. And you might be able to tailor a project to be able to meet their goals. And that's what I talk about developing some strategic plans, just talking to all these different agencies that have all these different programs, sort of lining them all up and figuring out how you fit into each of those and getting them in sort of a chronological order that would help you to be able to prioritize where you maybe want to spend resources or what you might want to pursue and in what order, because you're not going to be able to do everything. And it's going to take somebody some time to be able to sort through these things. At the city of Newport, when I was there, I had a consultant that helped me do that, dig deep resources or dig deep research. And that's all they did was strategic grant planning. And it just helped us to get our ducks in a row so we could plan, because you know, we had a $33 million annual capital program we managed. And you know, we needed money and we needed to be able to know when it was going to be available to us so that we could plan those projects out over time. You know, you bring that down to sort of a micro scale that that Otter Rock is working on. You don't necessarily need a professional consultant to help you do that, but it would be helpful to know who those people are, the grant officers, so you can contact them, talk about your situation and develop a relationship with them, because they'll let you know when those opportunities become available. They used to call me up and say, hey, we got this program that's coming up. I remember talking to you last month about this thing that you are working on, and I want you to know that it's available to you. That's the position you want to be in, is that, you know, Amy Bichant knows who you are. She knows your situation, and she's aware of the programs that she has and how they may be able to align with you. So you're not beating down her door, she's beating down yours. And that's when you know you're in a successful place, when you have enough of a relationship with these individuals and they're aware of your situation, that they're looking out for you and they're actually presenting these things to you so that you're able to pursue them in a timely fashion.
You know, and I will add that these agencies don't look at a Newport and say, we're going to give you all the money and an Otter Rock, you know, we don't care about Otter Rocks or some. They all look at everybody equally. In fact, we're working with the city of Wheeler up in Tillamook County. They've got a FEMA grant, and that we're going to be helping them with a stream mitigation project. We did not help them with the application in this case, but they got the funding. And it took them a few years to get the money, but they filled it out a long time ago. They got the money, and they've got some flooding and some issues up there in the city of Wheeler that we will be helping them with on a FEMA project. So they're
in that instance, FEMA worked with them to break that project out into a planning grant first, because they didn't have enough detail on what the costs would be to do a construction. And so they gave them initially a planning grant, sort of appropriating future dollars for them to do the construction so that they could design it first, get some detail behind it, then pursue with a construction application and do the work. And so they'll work with you. They just need to sort of know what the issues are.
Again, it goes back to what Tim, you know, among many things, but it goes back to relationships. It goes back that we've performed with FEMA. We've performed with these other agencies. They know who we are. They know who Tim is. They know who Civil West is. We've performed well. And when we go back to the buckets, they know that we'll perform again for them as we try to represent Otter Rock in getting funding. But you know, Adam Denlinger, I'm thinking of SILROC, you know, he's gotten a lot of money from USDA and different places, and we've helped them with those applications. So it's just a matter of just persistence. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, kind of a thing. And Tim spoke the truth. When the funding agencies start calling you, you know you've hit a sweet spot with them, that they are interested. And so you know, one thing I want to make, you know, we're using Newport as an example, and because of Tim's experience, but that doesn't mean that just simply is trying to convey to you that we've got that experience to represent Otter Rock in going forward, because Otter Rock is very much eligible, very much in a good position because of the needs that you have to truly compete. And that's all we're saying is we're very confident that we could support you well. We're not going to guarantee that you're going to get grant money. We just can't do that. But we can tell you that we can support you because we've been there, done that.
Thank you. A lot to consider.
Yes.
So how much of our 10 hours of circuit rider time have we already used?
All.
Well, we can, like I say, there are ways, and like I say, circuit rider is pretty liberal And we can write another 10-hour amount, a different task. So as you meet with Amy, as certainly Tim will probably take the lead in that capacity.
All right.
We're right there supporting you. We'll figure it out one way or another to support you through this process.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, but with that said, of course, when it comes time to say, hey, you're now officially engaged to do this application, that's beyond Circuit Rider at that point in time. But certainly right now through the process, the next week or so, or however long it takes to get a hold of Amy, we're right there to hold your hand, and you hold our hand, and we'll hold Amy's hand, and we'll try to come up with all we can.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any other questions for Tim or Kevin?
Well, maybe I do. You guys hear me?
Yep.
Wave. Is that Dana?
Yes, it's Dana.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I just wanted Tim to review, you know, when he first came to the meeting, the whole thing came down to doing part of the project rather than the whole project. And that's how we would get funding and be able to get funded a lot easier. I'd like to have him address that we're not talking doing the whole 3.5 million. We're talking specifically like doing a disaster thing, like you mentioned, where you just do the tank and the line store hydrants and doing the fire issue, which is more feasible to getting approved or getting a grant or something. So I just want everybody to know, maybe Tim could just touch on that, you know, we're not looking at doing the whole project funding right now. We're looking at something that will get us the grant that would be more feasible to get us a grant, I should say. Do you know what I mean, Tim?
Yeah.
That might be, but might not. We might be looking at the whole project.
Well, I don't know if all everyone listening in it understands where we're at in this thing, you know, that we're here before and how I explained it when he first came to the first meeting. You know, my second question to Civil West would be, how much could or would you assist us, assist the district with these applications after the Circuit Rider hours? I mean, then we would have to hire you to help us assist us, or? So maybe give us a deal on this grant, on this funding, and that we're looking for, you know, that's more in our we'd be qualified for at this point. Maybe a smaller project. We're not looking at the whole project. We're looking at a part of it. And then maybe later down the line, looking at doing the rest of it.
So within that document, and I'm sorry that Dana, you don't have it because I just sent it to the commissioners. On page 20, it talks about, hazard mitigation grant program categories. And then the next page, next couple pages is about the types of eligible fire-related projects. And so that gets to Dana's point, is that it's unlikely that they would fund like the whole district rehabilitation. They would fund those components that would provide improved fire protection. And so they talk about ineligible related projects. It really needs to be, in this particular instance, for this particular two grants, related to mitigation for fire prevention. And so, you know, improving the size of a tank for the purpose of adding pressure and or additional flow for fire protection, that's a pretty easy thing to prove that it would provide improved fire protection. Increasing the size of a water line to be able to provide fire flows, that's a pretty easy thing to do. Adding meters would not be something that you probably could get them to pay for, because what mitigation value does that provide? You know, so you got to take your project and look at the components of it that will help you grow the project in the future, but provide mitigation efforts now. And so, you know, parsing the project out into pieces, you know, you don't necessarily want to go and put a big water line in that you can't actually feed water to, because it might actually make the situation worse. And so, you know, you want to make sure that what you're proposing to do is advancing your fire protection capabilities and setting the project up for success in the future as well. So a little bit of thought that's going to need to go into it. And so that's one of the things, you know, when we get all these numbers for all the rehabilitation that the project needs, then you have to take that and put that into pieces And so you actually have an application. You have a specific component of that that you can make a proposal with.
So am I hearing that a FEMA grant could not be used to fund the mitigation part of a larger project? That no, it could be a separate project?
It could be. You just make it a separate project. You know?
So you sort of carve that out, and that's what the grantor looks at.
Yeah. You know, so for example, you know, if you're putting in a water line and you have to dig up the road, you know, it will pay to patch the road when you're done. But if you're adding in a water line and you want to put all new meters down the road, they're probably not going to pay for the meters.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Clearly.
Well, what I was getting.
Oh, God. Stan, did you have something?
Yeah, I was just curious. If we did get this FEMA grant and then we wanted to proceed on with the rest of our project, would that slow us down for trying to get, like, let's say that we do get infrastructure money coming down? Would that be a detrimental to getting the infrastructure money, having the FEMA grant already?
So you cannot use federal money as a cost share for other federal money, but generally they like to see that you have received funds in the past because they want to continue giving to a project that's previously been successful. And so there's a whole lot of, it depends, you know, back to sort of that strategic grant financing program. It was not uncommon that we would use state funds as a cost share for federal dollars or vice versa, because you can do that, but you can't use federal funds to cost share a federal project. So if you tried to partner together, say, a Bureau of Reclamation grant with a FEMA grant, they're both federal dollars. And although they would pay for separate parts of the project, you know, those meters, the Bureau of Reclamation would love to pay for, but FEMA doesn't want to pay for that. But you can't use the $2 to pay for the same water line or use the Bureau of monies to pay for part of the water line that FEMA didn't pay for.
I was wondering, like if FEMA pays for the main line, and then we wanted to do our trunk lines, would be on our own. We wouldn't be able to get federal funds for that, is what you're saying?
You could get federal funds for it as long as it wasn't paid partly for by federal funds before.
Oh, okay. I got you. Okay.
And I think the thing that you're going to run into more than anything is the timing of it. It just takes so long for these FEMA grants that you might have some other opportunities that come along that you might want to use those dollars first and not the FEMA grant. That's actually how they end up with money left over in these FEMA grants, is that people find other ways to pay for it in the meantime, and they let their money go, and then they have money left and they award in a more timely fashion to people who come along later. I would suspect that you'll actually see this in 2 or 3 years. These grant programs are going to still be around, and they're going to have some money left over for planning and some other things because they just didn't use all the money.
Sure. Okay. Thanks.
Dana, did we answer your question?
Yeah, I just wanted to make the point that what we're looking at is trying to get funding that's realistic for our community right now, and that's the disaster or the fire, and that would only be like the tank and the lines going to our hydrants so that we increase the fire flow and have the water capacity to fight fires, you know, and that's the one that's would be would be the best accepted, is the way I got from Tim. And I just wanted everybody to know that that's kind of where we're at. We're not trying to go for the whole thing, that we're going for what we will qualify for in all these applications, the best chance of getting some funding. And that's to narrow the project down to just a disaster.
It would greatly relieve the amount of money we're going to spend on the rest of the project, though, if we get those FEMA funds for a tank and the main lines.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And that's what we're trying to apply for. That's what Tim's talking about. We talked about other things, but yeah, that would be a great boost to be able to get funding for that part of it.
Okay.
And it increased the system by increasing the flow and the pressure. So I think overall it'd be great to be able to get that. I think we need help in the application process, though, from it sounds like.
You have to have an engineer do some of the analysis. There's just nothing for that. There's actually some sections here that talks about that the professional engineer has to certify that the proposed project is feasible and doable and all the other things. And so there's just no getting away from that. Every FEMA application includes an element of engineering to it. And then it's helpful to have some guidance on how to write it. Again, you know, it's about equivalent to what we did for Newport based on the information I saw that the district has already, because some of that estimating's already been completed.
As it sounds like we really want to talk to our
under
state officer and just maybe get a better feeling.
Yeah, I don't know if the tank can hold out for.
So Amy Bashant would be, I think, maybe the logical next person to talk to get a feeling. Absolutely. For whether it's...
I wouldn't drag your heels very long either because the timelines are ticking. And so...
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I would be glad to make initial contact with her and see if we can get a meeting time set up pretty soon. Before maybe our next board meeting.
You want Tim to do that, or were you gonna, did you say you're gonna do that, Pat?
I will make that outreach, or if Tim's a better person to do the outreach, then it seems like Tim was saying that we should reach out and ask for her assistance.
I think it would come better from a board member.
Yeah.
Okay.
So does the board want to proceed in that way?
It sounds like the logical next step if we're gathering information to decide. You know, I think we clearly need more information before we make any decisions. And I mean, it seems like from what I'm hearing from Civil West, it makes sense to, first of all, get information, second of all, get on our radar, start getting on our radar. Other board members?
Yes.
You're on board with that? I would be on board with that. That sounds very good. Information. We need lots of information.
Yeah.
And that's just
and I would like Civil West on the call.
Excuse me?
I would like Civil West on the call. With Amy.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Just let us know when you're able to set something up and we can certainly participate.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other questions for us tonight?
A million, but we got to get them up, set in some kind of priority.
All right. Well, we'll have that conversation with Amy and then we'll figure out next steps. Okay.
I'll be
thank you for this presentation. You. This has been very informative.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Call, okay.
Yeah. Thank you for your time and your presentation. Okay. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Thank you.
That's great. Okay, so who else gonna be in, would be in on that conversation, Pat and Lisa?
I think we should all attend.
If we can.
I think so too.
Yes.
If I can schedule it.
If we can schedule it, yeah.
Let me find out from her what availability is, and then apparently Civil West, if we want them to sit in, are flexible about their time. I doubt she's going to want to have an evening meeting with us.
Right.
Right.
Let me find out what is possible and I'll get back to you.
Thanks.
Okay. That would be great.
Do we need a movement to adjourn this work session?
Are we ready? Is that it? That would be fine with me.
I want to
if
thank
we're
you.
Ready.
It's not 8 o'clock yet. We can't adjourn this early.
What? It's only been an hour and a half. That's too short for a meeting, right?
It is.
I want to thank everybody for attending.
Yes, thanks.
And I move that we community. I move that we adjourn.
Okay, Dan moves.
I'll second
that. All in favor?
I'll second.
Dan, Lisa, Pat,
yes,
Liz, and Beth. Okay, great. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you all. Meeting
adjourned. 7:35.
Woo, a record.
Thank you.